All right, we're here. We're doing it. We're getting closer and closer. It's almost over. We've got 8 movies left.
Can't we get to the good movies now? Why'd you leave all the good movies at the end?
Because you gotta finish strong. You gotta finish, you know, you gotta save the best for last.
You know? I don't always agree with that. I think dessert should come before dinner.
And that's obviously why you have no children. You gotta give them a reason to eat the greens.
How does that mean I have no... Why is that a reason I have no children?
Because you gotta get them to eat
the vegetables. So if I was like, okay, you must eat your dinner before you eat your dessert, I would have kids?
Yes.
I'm gonna stick with dessert before dinner.
Immaculately concepted.
Anyway, we're gonna get off this topic real quick.
It'd be like Brother Bear. Like you would.
We're
going
to get off this topic real quick.
It'd be a spiritual beam of
anyway,
light.
Anyway, what episode are we on?
This is the Talk Nerdy To Me podcast. Halloween Horror Fest bonus episode numero 20 Trace.
Good.
That's 23 for people who don't know Spanish. Yeah, Jen's not happy with me right now. Because I had a really terrible idea. Because I have a lot of terrible ideas. And,
normally, he doesn't always try to execute them.
I know. This is what happens when I'm not in school or working. I get bored.
I'm glad you are. He gets bored and I get drug along.
You enjoy every minute of it? Come on, I mean, I've got my creative juices flowing.
What happened to just playing Pokemon?
You told me I needed to take a break.
I take it back. Pokemon is a great game.
But this is a great game, too. It's a Hunger Games.
This is a game playing with my head.
How about we talk about the movie that we're supposed to go and talk about? And
probably then, a good idea.
And then when we do the full episode, we'll discuss this.
No, there's no discussion.
So you're agreeing?
No, I didn't say that either.
So what movie are we here to talk about?
I believe we're going to talk about Alien.
Yes, the Ridley Scott. Or no, not really. Was it really Scott? Yeah. It was Ridley Scott, right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I had that right. I'm good. My nerd cred is still there.
Is it Scott? I think so. Okay, yeah. Anyway.
But, yeah, so... Alien.
Yeah.
I want to say right off the bat, if you've not seen this movie...
There's something wrong with you.
Seriously. And I would definitely suggest the director's cut of the film... That is on Blu-ray. The Blu-ray upscaling is great. It is really, really good.
Yeah.
And some of the little scenes that was put into this movie were fantastic. Like, I know some people don't like extraneous scenes of people just walking around or just shots of the setting and the environment. But the set for this movie... is so amazingly done. Like, I think that was the first thing I said when we started watching this was, you don't get sets like this anymore in movies.
When did this movie come out? 1988?
It was a while ago. It was back in the 80s, yes.
Was it 88?
I will look for you in just a second. But, I mean...
I'm sure they did have CG at that point, but... when they were making props and sets and all that, back then, it was done by hand. It was...
The first Alien was 1979.
Was it really?
Yes.
And well, that was off. Which movie am I thinking of?
And that set still looks amazing.
That's probably why it looks so amazing, to be honest. Because, like I was saying... This wasn't done on the computer. This was people gluing plastic squares onto the wall.
Dude, well, not even that. Like, some of that stuff was probably hand sculpted. I mean, yeah. If you look at the alien suit, yeah, it kind of was, you know, it had some webby hands, kind of looked puffy face a little bit, but it was a practical suit, and there are great scenes where it stands up and it rears back and just looks so terrifying. Like, I could imagine going to the theaters and seeing this and being like, fuck.
Especially back then, because I really thought this was later in the 80s.
God, no.
I didn't realize it came out so early.
Yeah. So, I mean,
back then, I mean, this movie, I don't want to say it was before its time, but it was before its time. It was one of those movies that it just looked amazing. It's,
I mean, the only thing, the only thing you could really compare it to in the scale of how it did, how it performed itself, really, is Star Wars. The way George Lucas did those miniatures and how he did the space battles and the soundtrack.
You're talking about set design?
Yeah, like how he did the sets, how he did those miniatures, like the ships and stuff. Like, when you look at the detail and intricacy he did there, you can see the same intricacies and details in the set and design of Alien. And that's not even, and we're not even talking right now about the acting in this movie.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the story.
God, no, because
we're literally talking about the set, the stage, the props, everything, the costumes.
Because I'm sorry, like, there's stuff that happens in this movie and it's still terrifying. Like, me personally, I don't want to go to space. Like, I want to go to space, but I don't want to go to space because I might go into space and find a face hugger. And then it puts something in me and bursts out of me. And then
this story and that part of the story makes me disbelieve anything a teacher or parent ever told me. I was told as a kid, holding hands, kissing, and hugging would not get you pregnant. This face hugger was getting people pregnant.
You violated.
It was hugging.
You violated your childhood securities?
Yes! I mean, seriously, my life has been a lie.
Have you seen that picture on the little cartoon meme where it's a little face hugger and it's holding a sign and it says free hugs?
Yes, I believe I sent that to you, as a matter of fact.
Or there's another one.
But that just goes back to, you know, a stranger giving you candy.
I know, but there's another one where there's a cartoon alien sitting at a table and there's a dude sprawled out on the table and there's a little baby alien bursting out of his chest and it says Happy Mother's Day.
Wow.
Or I think they've changed it a couple times where it's Happy Birthday or Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But no, you're right. Like, and one of the things that we talked about when we talked about The Thing was the fact that you're like, in The Thing, you're like, oh my God, who's infected? In this one, you're like, holy fuck, where is this thing? And I love the fact that in this movie, they don't try to over-explain shit.
Yeah.
Which is one of the downfalls, I feel, that come later in the series and in Prometheus. Is that they try to explain too much. Even though I did enjoy Prometheus. Matter of fact, we both did. But in this movie, that thing escapes, and within the hour, it is a full-grown alien hunter. And it is like, sup? I'm gonna poke your brain out with my extra mouth.
Yeah.
That is creepy. Extendo mouth.
See, the whole extended mouth thing, now that I think about it, really looks like the actual newborn alien did. It's kind of like its body grew around it.
That is a good observation, because I never thought of it that way. But you're right, it does kind of look like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like it grew its own armor sort of thing, but it was actually really a body.
You know, that's probably a really good assessment, seeing as in Alien vs. Predator, the first one, the Predator does kill an alien and turn its exoskeleton into armor.
Huh.
Yeah.
I might be a bigger nerd than I thought.
No. Was it in the first one, was it in the second one?
I think it might have been the second one, because I haven't seen
it. No, it was the first one. Because remember, the first one had the black lady who survives at the end and she gets the mark on her face. And she has the alien head on her arm. like the it's a gauntlet type deal.
I remember all that, but was that the first one?
Yeah, that was the first one. Because remember, crazily,
when they went into the whole like dome or the whole thing.
Yeah, because remember ridiculously
the games.
No. Because remember it ridiculously at the end of Alien vs. Predator Requiem, that same black lady shows up.
Yeah.
She's the survivor from the first one. And she had the alien armor.
Was Requiem the second or the third?
Yeah, Requiem was the second one.
Oh, that's where I'm getting confused.
And the third one was Predators.
Okay.
And it had the dude from that movie, Jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Jacket's a good movie. Predators, not so much. But, I mean, back to Alien.
Since we, kind of took a couple steps forward into the movie series.
Yeah, honestly, Alien and Aliens are the best of the series. I mean, hands down, they're the best of the series. I mean, they're basically the same movie, except one's action and one's horror. And I definitely feel that Alien is horror because it does such a good job at building that terrifying atmosphere when Ridley's the voice of reason through this whole movie. Well, her and the black guy, surprisingly.
If they had listened to Ridley in the first place.
Or the black guy, because remember when they first were trying to bring the dude back in with the facehugger on?
Yeah.
And Ridley's like, no! Quarantine!
See, if they had just listened to Ridley in the first place, though, none of this would have happened.
Or when they listened to, or if they had to listen to the black guy, but the black guy's like, what's that thing? What is it? Why don't you freeze him? Why won't they freeze him?
I agree. Why didn't they just freeze him?
Because, like, every 2 seconds, he's like, hey, what's
wrong
with
him? Why haven't they just frozen?
Why haven't they just frozen? Like, I love how he, like, his character from the beginning of the movie has been harping on stuff. You know, the shares and all this stuff. So when he starts harping on this, like,
but see, he harps on small details, and it's the details that nobody really pays attention to.
But they should.
Exactly.
Totally should.
Exactly.
But yes, and so when you get into the story, this story's pretty simple. Alien beast gets on ship, people try to survive. That's it. But it's done spectacularly.
Acid blood.
I mean, oh, and you know, this type of stuff was like never done before, if you think about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Before this movie, when did you ever hear of some sort of beast with acid blood? So you couldn't even get up close and personal and kill it.
Considering I thought I was sitting here in my head thinking this is 1988, please don't ask me that question because I can't think of one right now. I'm really going to have to figure out what I was thinking of in 1988.
Probably Predator because Predator came out.
I'm thinking it was Chucky.
What?
Thinking I'm stuck on Chucky.
Yeah, we are pretty movie fatigued.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I decided to try to go down this next tangent that we're going to try to do, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, he's trying to wear me out on movies where to the point I can't even turn on the television anymore without just being sick of it.
Look,
and now he's trying to turn me on to books. Love of my life.
Look, there's 8 movies left.
Only thing that's ever been there for me is books, and I'm going to be so sick of it because of the books that he's trying to make me read in the first goddamn place.
But look, there's 8 movies left, and the last half of those are spectacular. Fantastically fun movies.
Hocus Pocus, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh, we are doing Leprechaun in the Hood.
That's and we're doing good. Jason Punches a Dude's Head Off in New York.
That's all you.
But no, I mean, I think now, I guess since we've kind of broached on it, we could talk about acting. I think the best part about this movie is what a lot of other movies are missing. And that is when they try to get these ensemble casts together and put them in a spaceship and they're like, yeah, they're buddies. And they don't really act like buddies. They don't act like friends or family.
They have to have the chemistry.
And everyone in this crew has fantastic chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like the scene just before the first chest burster happens. Or the only chest burster. Because there's only one alien in this movie. Before that happens, where they're talking at the dinner table, they're talking about eating, and he's like, there is one thing I want to go back home and eat. And he's like, at least you know what that's made of. He goes, I don't want to know what it's made of. And for you people out there who can't pick up on innuendos, they're talking about eating pussy.
I'm sure most people would have picked that up.
You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't.
You would be. She's like, actually, no. No, probably wouldn't.
No.
But no, and it's those little things, those little details, like how even though those guys are harping at Ripley through most of the first part of this movie about their shares, they still have fun and they're picking at Ripley. Like when she comes down there with him and he's picking at her about it and she goes, fuck you, and walks off or whatever. And then he tells his...
Actually, that whole joke came from him saying, can you guarantee us a full share? Or can we get a full share? She says, you know, by law, you're guaranteed a full share anyway. And he just goes, but I want a full share. And that's when she says, fuck you, and walks off.
Yeah, and then he tells his buddy who's working down there with him, he's like, you know why people don't come down here? Because of you. You don't got no personality. And it's just those details. Like, the familiarity between Dallas and Ripley when they're talking. And just how just everybody's interconnected little stories and just how they react with each other is fantastic. And you don't get that very often in movies. Like, only real recent things I can think of that have such a thing are the Harry Potter films. And probably the best examples are Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. And the Avengers. The way, like, Thor and Captain America and Iron Man and everybody talk with one another, like, in those scenes inside of the S.H.I.E.L.D. aircraft carrier, amazing dialogue, amazing chemistry. And movies nowadays don't get that. That's one of the reasons why I feel Firefly was such a good show, was because of the dialogue and the way the actors were with one another. And I feel that Nick Fillion, or, sorry, Janelle, it's Nathan Fillion. I think he brings that to almost anything he does. I don't know how he adapts that to just new actors he meets, but he did it in Slither. It's all over the place in Firefly, and Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog or whatever it is. He does it in that.
Well, see, there's just certain people that have that charisma. That just kind of, it's so overpowering that it just kind of leaks onto everybody. And you can't help but, you know, enjoy that person. You can't help but feel comfortable and relax. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of these people need.
You know, I bet Robert Downey Jr. would be awesome to hang out with in person.
He would be a trip and a half.
God, he would be. You know, I bet, I was looking at the special features for Cabin in the Woods because, spoilers, Sigourney Weaver does a cameo in that movie. And they talked about how she was just a fantastic person to be with on set. Like, she was so into the horror movie and the horror movie genre and doing all this stuff, and that she was fantastic to work with. So I bet she'd be awesome to hang out with, too. She's pretty hot still, too. She aged great, very wonderfully, she did. She aged really well.
Yeah.
Some people from that same era didn't, however. Like my man Bill Murray, I love him to death. He's hilarious, but he didn't age well at all.
Yeah, he looks like a living zombie as it is.
I know. I see what you did there. Mm. But no, so, I mean, this movie has so much to offer. And the best part about it, it doesn't look dated. Like, no, some of the stuff doesn't. In it, like the computer, like the scrolling and flashing lights and consoles are kind of dated, but that just works with that atmosphere of science movie, you know, a sci-fi horror type deal. So this movie doesn't, it holds up.
Do you think the whole big computer and, you know, flashing lights and all that, do you think that makes a better horror movie than if you just had a little laptop going off?
Oh, you mean like all this touchscreen swinging around shit? Yeah, I like pushing buttons. Everybody likes pushing buttons.
Well, that's a lot of buttons to push.
Exactly.
It's kind of like picking a red wire, green wire.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like 2001 A Space Odyssey. The computer HAL in that one.
Okay.
In this one you have Mother. I think in the next one... You don't have a computer in the next one. You got Bishop, who's the android. Because you had Ash, who was android, in this one. And then Bishop is a cameo in the third one. But, and then in one of them, you have the computers are, it's mother and father. Like, mother's in this one. I think father's in the second or third one. I can't remember. But, you know, it's just, I think it all fits into that genre. It fits in that trope of a sci-fi film. That type of computer and analog stuff, you know? Uh-huh. Like, and plus it helps ground us in the feel of the movie, in my opinion. Like, because...
It does make it feel a little more science-y, and the fact that it is on an actual, you know, spacecraft, it's just kind of something you would expect.
Yeah, like Star Trek. Like, yeah, Star Trek did some crazy tech stuff. Teleporters, and they had tablets.
Which totally exists, by the way.
They had tablets, but their tablets were touchscreens.
Which totally exists.
They weren't these in-the-air, holographic, turn-it-around, move-it, do all this. They weren't like the ones in Minority Report. Uh-huh. They were actual touchscreens. And my iPad does exactly what that Star Trek thing did.
So, do you think that technology was created off of Star Trek then?
I could totally
see. Like, the creator of Star Trek was dreaming up all this technology.
And Steve Jobs stole it. Yeah, probably.
Hey, Steve Jobs stole a lot of stuff. We're not going there. I totally found that article yesterday.
About?
Steve Jobs. But we're not going to a different podcast. Anyway. You know, there's a bank over in Ireland where you can totally transfer your money and pay maybe a fifth of the taxes on your money that you would over here.
That was random.
That is what companies do. That's what Steve Jobs did. Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
Anyway.
June's like, thanks for not paying your fucking taxes, Steve Jobs, asshole.
I have to pay my taxes. I'm on an island. American bank, who needs that?
Fucking America.
I'm going to have a redhead as my teller.
A ginger. But no, so, I mean, the set, the acting is all good. The story's great because it's simple. Simple story. I think we're proponents of keeping the story simple.
Yeah.
The KISS model. Instead of keep it simple, stupid, it's keep it.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, just keep it simple. The KISS. Not KISS.
Anyway. You can see the look on my face right now.
Yeah, keep the story simple.
That's why I made my lips tickle.
That was awkward. All right, note to self. Elongated S's make Jen's lips tickle.
No, it was the kiss. Made my lips tickle.
Elongated S.
Anyway.
So.
It's okay, you don't have to get it.
Now, here's the rub. Do you think, because this movie is so good, that it, like, you know how they go through series and they'll remake a movie and remake stuff? Like, they remade Nightmare on Elm Street, they remade Friday the 13th. Do you think they would need to remake this film, Alien, or Aliens, or start with the latter films and just keep these?
I think that's why they haven't redone it and they've just continued on the series. Is because the way the time frame that this movie is set is still very futuristic. Technically, this one is about our present. Maybe a couple years back.
Okay.
So I don't think that they should try to remake it if that's what you're asking.
So do you think maybe they should just start with Aliens 3?
Well, I mean, they've got Aliens, they've got Predators, they've got Prometheus. And they're trying to tie them all together. I don't think they should continue on with the whole Alien series by itself. I don't think they should continue on Predators by itself.
Because Predator 1 was great.
Yes.
You hadn't seen that before, and I showed that to you.
Yep.
That was... God, I wish I still had that drop in.
Anyway.
But no, honestly, what I think that they could literally keep Aliens and Predator and then just add stuff to those. Like keep those as the core of the mythology of the canon and just build onto those. And honestly, with all the problems that Prometheus had as a film, I still think it was good. I still enjoyed that movie.
See, I'm not as highly critical of movies as you are.
I've watched way too many movies. It's just
I agree.
It's sad.
If he's not playing Pokemon, it's a movie.
It's sad because I can't sit down and enjoy movies much.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it takes a lot for me to shut my brain off to enjoy a movie and not tear it apart.
It takes a lot for him not to sit there and talk through a movie, too.
Two staples of a good movie. You get me to shut the fuck up. You don't get me tearing you apart. If you can do those two things, you've made a good movie. The Conjuring, I was quiet the whole fucking movie.
Yes, you were.
Machete, I wasn't quiet the whole movie, but goddamn I wasn't tearing that movie apart. That movie was fun as hell.
The only reason that you were really loud is because you were laughing and trying to keep me awake.
Yeah.
Which didn't work.
I know. But the first Machete and Machete Kills are great.
Yep. Agreed.
So, yeah. So, what would you give Alien?
I'd give it a 4.5.
Really?
Yeah, 4.5.
With there are some dated things, like I said, the green screen computer and the tickering and type stuff. And
this is an old movie.
Yeah, and the alien suit does kind of look a little puffy. Like in that scene, the jump scare where it's in the tunnel, and they're like, the other way, and he turns around and it's like,
video cast, I am telling you. Anyway, continue.
It looked a little weird, a little kind of puffy face, like maybe the alien had some allergies that day.
Would you like Benadryl, Mr. Alien?
But honestly,
you look like you got some sniffles going on.
I would definitely have to give this a solid 4.5, like crazy leaning to 5, just because I really enjoy this film. I think this movie holds up so well. And I think, to finish up, I think that's a staple of this era in movies. When they were done well, they hold up really well.
Yeah.
I mean, the never-ending story holds up really well.
Yeah.
Dark Crystal holds up really well. Like, the Skeksis, I'm 28 years old. And those weird worm bird thingies that were eating little elf kids, terrifying. Still terrifying. And David Bowie's codpiece is still terrifying in the labyrinth. That dude was rolling around that movie. Like, he had it up and ready for Jennifer Connelly, a young, sexy Jennifer Connelly in that movie. And he...
I've still seen the best cosplay from that movie at Mysticon.
Oh, that is right. There was a fantastic Jareth cosplay at Mysticon this year. Holy moly moly.
Yeah, and that was great.
Speaking of Mysticon, that is coming up soon.
February.
Yes.
So, shall we do 50 Shades or Mysticon?
Both.
God bless it.
And on that note, this is the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast, Halloween Horror Fest bonus episode number 23, where we talk about Alien. Signing off, and we, as always, are your hosts,
Jen
and Jason. And hopefully, Jen won't die after this next few months of torture that I'm going to try to put her through.
Whatever.
But you can find us at talknerdytomepodcast.wordpress.com. You can find us at talknerdytome. You can find us at facebook.com/nerdy.
You can talk nerdy to him too if you want to.
Yeah, because I like it. You can find us at facebook.com/nerdytome. And you can find us on Twitter at nerdytomepodcast. Jen, we're going to get through this. We're going to make it, all right?
You say so.